Well, you may think you're a nobody, but you can know somebody that'll make you good as anybody. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus. All right, let's look in 1 Corinthians, I believe I want to go to tonight for a little while. I hope. Good news is I intend to be brief. Bad news is I've lied about it so many times to don't get your hopes up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll read a few verses and just going to abbreviate the context a little bit. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Then let me just drop this in. You could go back to Acts 18 and find out who Sosthenes was. He was a ruler of the temple there. He got saved. And that's where the church of Corinth got started. And so he says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul says, we're not the only ones. There's others in every place calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad of that. Sometimes we get to feeling like we're the only ones, don't we? Verse 3 says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop there. I want to especially get you to notice in verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, and that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we hear words like this. You'd be watching the news, and the news is full of killings. It's full of bomb explosions. I guess it was in Iraq this week, maybe, that three uniformed Iraqi policemen killed three of our Marines, just had a meeting, and then just assassinated them, just shot them. Yet we're sending them the tax money anyhow. You understand that? That kind of stuff. But you hear it, and then you'll hear a newsman say something like this. He'll give a report. This hasn't been confirmed yet. You hear that all the time, don't you? And here at Corinth, it was a worldly place. It was corrupt. It was bad. And yet in the midst of that, God used the Apostle Paul to get a church started. And we have the letters, of course, to 1st and 2nd Corinthians, letters written back to the church. In Corinth was an evil place. It was a worldly place. It was a place of temple worship where sex was involved in the temple worship. The goddess, so-called Aphrodite. And we see today that sort of stuff is coming back. Do you understand when religion has this sexual overtone in it? It's of the devil. And we're seeing that making a comeback today. You can recognize false doctrine so many ways. I mean, you got a religion today that's causing America lots of trouble, killing our boys overseas and terrorism in our country. And yet part of that so-called religion is if they are able to die as a martyr, they go to enjoy 70 virgins in heaven. That's false doctrine of the devil. Do you understand that part of their weapon and part of what they are using in Islam is rape? Saddam Hussein, Sudan, whatever his name is, Saddam Hussein had his rape rooms over there. And today they're going into Christian villages and taking young girls and others and kidnapping them and putting them into sexual slavery. This is going on now, but you don't hear a lot of it in the news. It's bad stuff, folks, bad stuff. Corinth was a place where they worshiped the sexual goddess. That sort of thing was involved in their so-called temple worship. Now, I'm looking around today and I'm seeing us appease false doctrine we ought not be appeasing. I'm seeing us trying to roll out, as it were, the red carpet and pulling our punches when it comes to dealing with an evil religion that's trying to destroy us. We are in America right now doing things in our schoolrooms to accommodate Islam. I saw the other day where they are fussing about a restaurant, a certain group of Muslims fussing about a restaurant serving tomatoes. So what's wrong with tomatoes? Well, if you cut them a certain way and use your imagination, you can see a cross in the tomato. Now, don't mess with my tomatoes. Ketchup's made out of tomatoes, and I like ketchup, amen? But can you imagine this idea that, and this kind of thing in school lunchrooms and in other curriculum in public schools, in some cases, we're bending over backwards to accommodate something that's perverted and is of the devil. It's not of God. But you're not supposed to speak against that. Rochester, New York, I guess it is, a little place out there called Greece, the county or whatever it is, the school district there, well, they were stopped from having prayer, Christian prayer, in the name of Jesus to open up their meetings. Just recently, accommodating something false like that. I want to say to you, I'm glad that we know the truth from the Word of God. And I want to deal with just something here in the text just a little bit tonight, and taking a little bit of a liberty with it. But it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming. In verse 7 says, "For the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm unto the end," confirm you, not conform, but confirm. "Confirm ye you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you know something? I'm glad that's going to happen. I'm glad I can go above the newsman and say this has been confirmed. This is a fact. This is going to happen just like the Lord promised that it would. And I want to say to you, his coming back is to confirm some things. His coming back, to begin with, he's going to confirm it by taking up his children. Say, what do you mean? Well, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's take a little bit of a look at it here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and pick it up in verse 13. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." You know what he's saying? He said, "I've made you a promise. I'm coming back to confirm that promise." He's going to catch us up. Amen. The scripture describes it's going to happen with a shout. It's going to happen with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ rise first. That means some of my landmark members will get a head start on us. I'm joking with some of them, but truth of the matter is, the dead's buried 6 foot deeper. Maybe they'll kind of get up, and we'll get even with them and all go together. I'm just surmising a little bit here, amen. But you know, that's a real promise. That promise is great for you and I that are believers, but it scares folks to death that aren't saved. Some of you remember, I told you this little story. I tell you again, I want to hear it again myself. Years ago, before I got into ministry, I had to trade off my Power Pack 1955 Chevrolet with overdrive and truck clutch in it. Just remembered it. Had to trade it off for a 36 horsepower Volkswagen. One of them bugs, Beetles. Had to do it because it got 36 miles to the gallon and gas was so expensive. It was 30 cents a gallon back then. Anyway, had to trade off my hot rod for that thing because I was having to pay for my own gas on the job I was on. And I had to ride all over the country. Sometime I'd put a couple hundred miles in a day just driving all over the central Florida. And to a degree, I was bored. I think God's hand was on me, called me to preach, and I was kind of resisting that and all of that at that time. And I did something, though, in that little car. I took a card about this size, maybe even a little smaller. In fact, I think it was a business card. And I wrote what I just read to you right here on the our version of what I just read to you out of 1 Thessalonians, wrote it on the card. Yeah, I wrote it in red. It was a white card. I wrote it with a red pencil, printed it out, and the first word on it said, warning, the driver of this car is saved. If you should hear a shout or the sound of a trumpet, grab the wheel, I'm leaving. And I stuck it right on the glove compartment behind a piece of chrome to where anybody that got in that seat was right in their face. If you know anything about one of them Beatles, you sit pretty close. And I'd pick up hitchhikers. Now, I don't advise that. But back then, you could do it. I'd pick up hitchhikers and almost every day get somebody. And I'd get them in the car. Now, if you've never rode in a Volkswagen, that's scary enough. There's no hood on it. The motor's in the rear. And you just mash the gas to the floor and shift the gears. It's like a bumblebee buzzing behind you. And it felt like it was going faster than it was. And of course, with my hot rod background, I squeezed every bit of it I could out of it. And I'd get a hitchhiker in there. And I mean, after the first greeting, I'd just let him sit and read that card, read that card, read that card. And that little Volkswagen's zooming around and buzzing around. And almost without fail, pretty soon, they'd look at me and say, what does that thing mean? What's that mean? Grab the wheel, you're leaving. I said, well, the Lord Jesus could come. I'm saved. And I said, instantly, you'd have to grab the wheel to keep from wrecking. I'd just disappear. I let them think on that a while. And many times I'd pull over side the road after they got really interested, pull out my New Testament, lean on the hood of the car, and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the truth of the matter is that's something that one day is going to be confirmed when Jesus comes. What he's promised is going to happen. He's going to come. We're going to hear a shout. And we're going to hear the voice of the archangel. We're going to hear a trumpet blowing. And we're going to go, and the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, absent from the body, brother. We'll be changed. We won't have to die. We'll cheat the undertaker, amen? Caught up in the clouds. A wonderful thing. You know, in the clouds now, Hebrews 12 tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses up there. Hebrews 12, 1. Name some of them in chapter 11, the Hall of Fame, we call it, the fame of faith, we might call it in Hebrews 11. I don't know how much God lets our loved ones watch. I think sometime he lets them know something. Some of the heroes of the faith may be able to be up there watching. I don't know. But I know one thing. If we'd understand something, our turn's coming. We're going to join them. When the trumpet sounds, we're going to join them. And you know something? If we get a hold of this thing that somebody is watching us, we might act a little different. I tell you who is watching God. He sees it all, doesn't he? You ever see kids that show off? How many of you parents ever been embarrassed because when company come, your kids showed off? Oh, yeah. Preachers see a lot of that. I remember visiting a fella. He's a school teacher. He's an educated guy, but I want to tell you something. He had a little boy and girl that were terrors. I mean, literally. I went in and sat down in the house with him, and I'd won his brother to the Lord, and I wanted to win him if I could. The devil got in those kids. I never seen anything like it. They'd get up on the couch and dive off on me. So help me. I've had dogs that got wild, but never like those two kids. And that husband, that daddy, he was helpless. Beat all I ever seen. They were showing off, showing off. Somebody was watching. You know what? We ought to be on our best behavior because somebody is watching. He's promised that, hasn't he? And you know what? I hope if the Lord lets any of my loved ones, like my grandma or my mom or my dad, I hope they can. I hope he shows them something that can make them proud of me or joyous. I look in Luke 16 and I see where the rich man looked back and he didn't want his five brothers to come to that torment, remember? He was there, and he didn't want them to come. By the way, a soul winner, when somebody tells you, well, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of company. No, you won't. To be miserable for you. And I want to tell you something. The truth of the matter is you don't want your loved ones to go there. And here you have folks here praying for the dead, but there you have the dead praying for the living. You have the rich man praying that his somebody to keep his brothers from coming to that awful place. You know, truth is, God's going to confirm everything in this book. I see in this coming to take his children that he's going to bring our loved ones with him. Isn't that wonderful? I've been at the deathbed of some old saints. I mean, some that didn't have the needle before they died. I mean, some that just had to die in poverty in an old bed somewhere, and they saw their loved ones gathering around. You say, you didn't believe that? Yeah, I believe they saw them. I believe the Lord brought them back. I believe they saw the angel. Somebody asked me the other night, have you ever seen an angel? No, but I've seen those that described what they were seeing. I never forget the grandma that said to me as I stood at the foot of the bed, she welcomed the angel, she welcomed the music, she welcomed her dad, her husband that had been dead for a long time. And she said, preacher, I know you can see them, tell the others. I couldn't see them, but boy, I believe they were there. They were there, no doubt about it. The angel had come for Granny that day, and I want to say God was confirming what he'd promised her. I like what he promised here. He promised to confirm these people. He confirmed them now, but one day it'll all be confirmed. One day every jot and tittle will be fulfilled just like he said. I'll tell you something. I'm not talking to you about the signs tonight. You've heard me preach on the signs. Hey, folks, you'd have to be blind today not to see the signs that Jesus is coming. Brother Cruz said to me a while ago, what was it, two earthquakes today or yesterday in Iran? They just keep happening, keep happening. The weather phenomena, man, everywhere you look. You know, the weather's wild. I mean, when it rains, it pours anymore. When it don't rain, it gets to dry, the crops die. Things are happening unusually. I kind of confess a sin of watching NASCAR sometimes. And last week, the rain stopped the race a little early, and before they could get in their cars, lightning struck somebody. I mean, wild weather's going on. Heard one fellow say, my wife drives like lightning. The other guy said, you mean she drives fast? He says, no, she hits trees. Real phenomena taking place, amen. But I'm glad the Lord Jesus is coming back to confirm some things. He's going to come back and take up his children like he promised. He's going to come back and take out his enemies like he promised. Now think about it, he's taking out the children, but he's also going to take up the children and going to take out the enemies. That's kind of an army term, you know. Take them out, okay. That's what the Lord's going to do. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's put up with more than you and I would ever put up with. But it's going to come an end to it. Going to come a time. I read over in the book of Jude. If you want to go over there with me to the little book of Jude, you'll find out the Lord has spoken ahead of time. And he's told what he's going to do. And over here in this book, Jude wrote a long time ago what's going to happen. Now, I'll pick it up, verse 14. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Now, go way back to Genesis, Enoch, the one that was translated. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. What's he coming for? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard speeches. Are we hearing any hard speeches against Jesus today? Yeah. Oh, yes, we are. Hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Boy, that's the political correctness of our day. That's the deception of our day. But God's coming back to deal with that crowd. Oh, I know, they mock and they scoff, but he's coming back to deal with them. He taught it in Matthew 13. He taught the parable of the tares. What's he going to do? He's going to bind the tares in bundles to what? Burn them, separating them from the wheat. We look around today and we see all this business. Hey, folks, listen to me. We're in danger in America of entrenching in our body of laws sins that God calls an abomination. That's dangerous business. This business with gay marriage, no marriage, is a man and a woman. And I don't care if you codify it in the law or not, it's still evil according to the book. It's still evil to abort the babies. It's still evil to put these homosexuals on a pedestal and give them everything they want. God condemns that business. Still today, we look around and see it happen. Enemies are bold today. They scoff at the Word of God. ACLU everywhere you're turning around, trying to defy godly principles that this country was built on. Our values are being destroyed. I see where the federal government is suing Florida. Now, I think the judge has ruled so far in Florida's favor, but suing Florida over trying to clean up the voter rolls. You know, they just found 63,000 dead folks in Florida on the rolls. 63,000. Hey, remember, we had an election where, 500 and something votes made the difference in Florida. And all of a sudden, we got 63,000 zombies. 63,000, somebody else is using their name to go in and vote, and they've been dead a long time. It's amazing, folks, what we've come to. It certainly is. But the enemies are bold today, and they scoff and they laugh at the things of God. And we look around, and every time you turn around, it's a lawyer or even some liberal clergy suing over mistreating prisoners or something, talking about down there at Gitmo and other places. Hey, when they're the enemy on the battlefield and they're blowing us up, and all of a sudden we've got to roll out the red carpet and the color TV and make sure they got plenty of volleyball to play or whatever it is they play out there in the prison yard. No, sir, they are prisoners of war, and we shouldn't have to be doing that. But that's what we've done. You know, we've got a long history of Christian enemies, but if you look at it, they didn't get by with it too long. What happened to Pharaoh? God took care of him, didn't he? What happened to Herod that wanted to kill off all the babies and Jesus? I tell you what, God caught up with him, didn't he? You see, what we've got today is the enemy. The enemies of Christianity are really the enemies of freedom. Because this country was founded on the Word of God, on godly principles. And the freedoms that we've enjoyed, they're trying to take away from us now. If you saw the papers recently, many articles on guns. Guns just walk in places and kill people by themselves. I want to tell you something. A killer will find something else if you take his gun away. Listen to me. You just outlaw the guns and the outlaws will have the guns. That's exactly the way the thing works. And we're losing our freedoms on that sort of thing. And we're coming to the time. And by the way, they're approaching the idea again of ID cards. You understand, under President Reagan, they wanted to do that. And he knew enough Bible, he said, hold it, that's the mark of the beast. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Hey, it's coming back around now, ID cards. Look out for it. Be against it if you can. The UN and others trying to get a treaty to take your guns away. Now listen to me. Our forefathers knew something when they gave us the Second Amendment. We better protect it. I'll tell you something. I want you to watch the word might. Listen to me. I might carry a gun. I might. Not because I'm evil, but to resist evil. I might carry a gun because I'd rather die in bed than to bleed out on the street at the feet of some dope pusher that needed another fix. I might carry a gun, not because I hate, but because I want to protect some folks I love. Amen? I might carry a gun because free citizens have a constitutional right to, and I don't want to give up that right. I might carry a gun because the police can't be everywhere, and generally when they get there, it's only in time to clean up the mess. And finally, I might carry a gun because I'm not as strong as I used to be, but my trigger finger still is. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to give up that right. But we have really got a movement on now to take up our guns. Oh, listen, when the Lord Jesus comes back, he's going to confirm that he's come for his children. He's going to confirm that he's come to take out his enemies. Excuse the cough, can't help it. And he's coming back to confirm that this world is his and he's taking it back. Oh, yeah. John 1:10, he came unto his own. His own received him not. Verse 12, verse 10, he was in the world. The world was made by him. It's his. A lot of folks don't think it's his. He is the creator. There's not anything made without him. There was not anything made that was made. He owns it all. He's the maker. He's the one that did it all. It belongs to him. He gave Adam dominion. Adam lost dominion to the devil. But the devil's a defeated foe. He was defeated at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus is coming back to take over the world that he created, that he made. You know, a lot of folks don't like to hear that. But Adam was given dominion. Do you know what? He was given dominion over the animals. He was given dominion over the trees. Environmentalists, just weep your heart out. Man was given charge. I saw the other day where the pipeline is going to be stopped now because they found a little beetle they're claiming might be endangered. He's endangered if he gets in front of my big foot. But we got that kind of junk going on. Yeah, we have. But this world belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave dominion to Adam. Adam lost it, but Jesus took it back. Amen. The first Adam failed, but the second Adam passed the test. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Satan's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us he is. That explains the evil, the cruelty. Don't blame God. That explains the abortion crowd and the AIDS crowd and the crowd that starts all the wars and the crowd that has no care at all about blowing people up. The devil's behind that business. But he's not going to hold on to it much longer. Hey, the biggest war on earth here, man-made, is just around the corner. It's just around the corner. But there's a bigger war coming when Jesus comes back. If you wanted to look at it, you'd have to turn over to Revelation 19. I love this chapter. Boy, it tells me who wins. Revelation chapter 19, last book in the Bible, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Capital letters. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Every man claims, I started that war in righteousness. No, here's one that's really righteous. And it's going to be brought with the Lord Jesus Christ. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, the Creator's coming back. But he's not coming back to be crucified. He's coming back to rule and to reign. And he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to take over. Bless God. Amen. And Satan's going to be cast in the lake of fire. He's going to be cast in where Revelation 19 tells us that the beast and the false prophet are. They're cast in chapter 19 of Revelation. In chapter 20, about verse 10, Satan's added to them. 1,000 years has happened between the time the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. 1,000 years has gone by. The devil's been chained, and there's been peace on earth. The millennial reign of Christ, and the rose bushes lose their thorns, and the animals quit eating each other, and it's a time of peace. The devil's been chained. But then he's taken and thrown into the lake of fire, where the scripture says the beast and the false prophet are. They're still burning. They're still there. The devil's added to them. I want to just simply say this to us tonight. He is going to take over this world. Right now, you and I are choosing whose side we're going to be on. Young people, listen to me. Some of you just got saved out at camp. Let me give you some good advice. Read the Bible. Start seeing what God wants you to do. Live like He wants you to live. Hey, you're on the winning side. You no longer have to be defeated. You don't have to bow to the devil of this world. You don't have to become a dope addict. You don't have to become a prostitute. You are a child of the King, and the King's coming back one day. Live like a child of a King. Wonderful truth. Find out by reading the Bible. Find out by coming to church. Find out by having good Christian friends what is pleasing to God, and do it. Live for Him, and you'll have the victory now and the greatest victory of all when He returns. Amen. Oh, yes, and He is going to return. Yeah, we're choosing sides now. Yes, we are. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. The day's going to come that all the scoffers, all the mockers are going to have to bend the knee and bow to the King of Kings. They're going to have to confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus is Lord. As you heard in the sermon this morning, you're choosing sides now. Oh, it's been a long time since I heard the good news that Jesus would accept me, that He'd let me come and be forgiven of my sins, and they could be buried in the deepest sea, and I could have forgiveness and stand in His presence. As we heard preached this morning, who can stand in the presence of a holy God? You can't without Jesus Christ. He has to be your shield. He has to be your covering. He has to be your substitute. That's what He wants to be. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need Jesus. Things are wrapping up, folks. He's fixing to come back and confirm His word. Confirm every promise He ever made. He's going to do it real soon. He's going to confirm it by taking out His children. He's going to confirm it by taking out His enemies, defeating them, and taking over His world. And it's the end that counts. And the end is not that far away. And that's what the text said here. It said not only confirm, but pick it up again in verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end that ye may be blameless. Don't you like that? Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. How could that be? I don't deserve that. No, but Jesus paid the price for me, took my place, represents me before the very authority of God and the judgment of God. Story in the Civil War days of the Union soldier that got his notice to come, the draft. They had to fight. And he went down and tried to beg off because he had a wife and some kids, and wife and kids were sick, and he just didn't know what they'd do if he left. He was trying to provide for them, and he went and tried to beg off. And he couldn't get off, and other friends knew his predicament, and finally one of his friends said, "You know what? They haven't drafted me. They skipped over me." And he said, "Let me go see if they'll let me take your tour of duty. Let me go see if they'll let me take your place." And they went and found out, yes, another could become his substitute. Another could sign up in his place. And so that happened. Year or two in the war, that friend, that substitute, was killed. And then by mistake, the same man got a notice again to come. He went back to the office and he said, "Oh no, you don't have any way now to call me back. I've already paid my duty in my substitute, my friend." They looked on the books and they said, "Yes, we confirm what you say. Somebody else took your tour of duty. You're no longer liable." Do you understand what I'm telling you? When I stand before God the Father, He's going to say somebody else paid it for you. Somebody else served for you. Somebody else took your place. you go free. That's what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, I don't know about the bookkeeping in heaven, but I know there won't be any errors there. And I can just see the Lord look and say, there the Lord Jesus took his place. I confirm it. Let him in the gate. Amen. Amen. Can you say that tonight? Did you let him take your place, pay the price for your sins? Are you confirmed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, all that we know and believe by faith right now will be confirmed when he comes back. We are able to see that materialize that we know by faith now. Oh, there'll be a time that our faith will be lost to sight. We'll see the reality of it. That's what the scripture teaches. Right now I see him by faith. One day I'll see him by sight. Amen. And I'll rejoice then. But I rejoice now because I believe what he said. And I believe he's coming back to confirm every bit of it. Do you know the Lord Jesus tonight? I pray you do. But if you don't, don't take a chance. Don't take a chance.